The Noon Lunch Hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
The Giovanni's Pizza Hour on Trib Live Radio. Ken Laird, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor. Time for our Frank Walker Law Defensive Player of the Week and of the Game. Brought to you by Frank Walker Law, criminal defense attorney at frankwalkerlaw.com. We thought we'd do a little special Frank Walker Law today. Yesterday's defensive performance from the Steelers was a little cloudy. It was a little tough.
It was Cam Hayward. Come on. For that play alone, it was Cam Hayward. And it's Cam every week, and he's the team MVP. And I don't care what you guys say, he's the team MVP so far this season.
I actually agree with you. I agree with you. It's Cam Hayward. That block alone, he could have gone through the security wall and found himself in the locker room. It looked like a scene out of Iron Man. It was ridiculous how crazy that play was.
I would have fought for Will Allen. He led him in tackles, and he had a forced fumble, and I thought he was just active and pretty good throughout the game.
And Mitchell was really good again, but then I'd have to say nice things about Mike Mitchell, and I just don't want to do that.
Well, I'll do that for you. Mitchell and Will Allen have had a really good couple of weeks.
Well, I don't want to make this a spite pick from Tim Benz, the why we're not picking a certain player for the Frank Walker.
Why do I think that at some point Frank Walker might actually represent Mike Mitchell before his Steeler career is over in some sort of capacity?
He certainly would if he needed his help. I know that from Frank. Now, Tim, let's go to – we're going to pick instead of the defensive player of the game, the defensive player of the 2005 Steelers season.
Well, I thought this was a nice little twist here since we're all going to go with Cam Hayward or Will Allen or Mike Mitchell, it feels like, every week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's shake it up here. Since the 2005 team was being honored for the Frank Walker Law Defensive Player of the Week, I think it makes sense to do the 2005 Player of the Year that year. And even though Polamalu was on that team.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Joey Porter.
Now, Joey Porter had the signature moment of Super Bowl week, calling out Jeremy Stephens. And as I understand it, Joey was the star of the reunion party on Saturday night, to nobody's surprise.
Of course he was.
As he usually is. But I didn't see him at all involved on game day. Like, he didn't even come out for that photo that Ben and Greg Warren came out for.
Right.
Correct.
Like, he didn't even come out for that. And Mike Tomlin was sitting there yucking it up with the guys as they were coming off the field at halftime, shaking all their hands, and Joey wasn't even there for that. So, that's unfortunate. I kind of thought he could break away from his linebacker coach duties for 5 seconds to take a photo with the owner, for crying out loud.
But, Coach Peasy.
Well, let me.
I guess he's taking that seriously, or Tomlin's making him take it seriously, whatever the case is. But I'm going to go with Porter because of, yes, Super Bowl week. He was an absolute beast against Indianapolis.
He was.
He was big against Denver, too. And I think of the 05 team, I think of Porter first before I get to like 08 and 10. I think of Troy more in 08 and 10.
There's no doubt Joey was the leader of that defense, and it's a great pick. Let me just run through all the starters on that defense. I pulled up the game book from that Super Bowl, which they won 21-10. Great defensive performance in a Super Bowl game. Your corners were Ike and Deshae. Troy and Chris Hope were your starting safeties. Foote and Farrier inside. Porter and Clark Hagans on the outside. But your D-line, here's my pick now, is Hampton in the middle. Aaron Smith at one defensive end, and the great Kimo von Allhoffen, who took out in the first playoff game Carson Palmer, and they are not a Super Bowl champion without it. So by that definition, Kimo is your defensive player of the year in 05, brought to you by Frank Walker Law. That is a true criminal defense for a criminal defense attorney.
And Al Michaels last night during the Seattle-Arizona game, he called it the curse of Kimo von Allhoffen.
Josh, who's your pick out of that bunch?
It's going to sound more cliche than anything, but I'm going with Troy. Troy did everything on that team. He was third on the team in tackles. He had a couple of picks. He recovered two fumbles.
Yeah, but he wasn't given credit for that Indy pick that he had.
He should have gotten credit for that Indy pick. He made play after play on that team.
If you wanted to be real smart, you could go Ben for the defensive play of the
season-saving tackle. That's true.
On Nick Harper. So those are all good picks. The defense that year also, I think, shouldn't be lost in it that they stopped a real good run game with Sean Alexander and one of the great linemen and Steve Hutchinson.
Didn't Sean Alexander wind up with 95 yards, though, in that game?
He came pretty close, I think, yeah.
He was the MVP that year, wasn't he? Great at memory. 20 carries, 95 yards.
Well,
but they did a good job on him. Like, Kiesel was playing a lot because somebody was injured. Was Kershke injured that game? Kiesel had to play a lot?
I think it was Travis Kershke.
Maybe Kemo was. I don't know. I remember Kiesel playing.
But there really is no bad answer amongst the guys that we picked as far as that team, because as much as you talked about Porter and the year Porter had 10.5 sacks. Clark Hagen's had 9, and he had more tackles than Porter did. That whole defense, but like, as much as you want to talk about one guy standing out from the bunch, that may have been such a good group collective effort, because even when you look at the inside guys, Foot had 76 tackles and 3 sacks. Farrier had 74 tackles and 2 sacks.
I'm trying to remember what the year was.
Those guys matched each other's level so intensely.
If it was 03 or 06, it was one of their non-playoff years. But in one of their non-playoff years, Hagen's had a really good season, had like 13 sacks or something like that, and just sort of got washed up in the whole negativity surrounding the disappointment of 03 or 06. And then eventually he got dislodged by Lamar Woodley. And frankly, in 07, when Woodley was a rookie, he should have played a hell of a lot more.
Yeah. Even the corners on that team were crazy because, you know, as much as we talk about Deshae Townsend and Ike, Ike broke up 20 passes. He had 75 tackles on that team. He was second on the team in tackles.
What was the year where Hagen's broke his hand weightlifting?
Ooh.
Was that the year that they drafted Woodley? Or
I might have been to get him on the bench.
Yes.
Might be.
I'm going to play my Hampton quick since we're talking defense. Tim, we'll get to your Tommy Maddox thing. Chris Hoke came up as we were talking, and he said, hey, Casey, you want to tell the reporters here about the 2004 season when you were injured all year and we went 15-1? And Hampton said, yeah, we didn't win a Super Bowl that year. We won it next year when I played. So I thought that was a pretty funny exchange between those two. But the last time I interviewed Hamp, he still had a flip phone. I was so happy to see that Hampton still has the flip phone.
Are you serious? Are you
kidding me?
Nope. He pulled it out of his pocket.
Jeez.
And he is so proud of it, and he is upset when he gets group text messages from the 05 Super Bowl team that include him. So in classic form, here's the big snack.
Casey Handback. Casey, do you miss these guys, and do you miss the game?
I miss more sort of the camaraderie with the guys, you know, being around the guys, hanging out in the locker room, and, you know, playing cards, playing, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? The game, I mean, I miss it, but, you know, that's I know I can't get out there and do that no more. You know what I mean? My body won't allow me to do that, so I'm cool on that.
I mean, do you keep in touch with these guys, or is that impossible? I mean, is there a group chat or a
get-togethers
yet?
It's like a group, like, and I get mad because it comes straight to your phone. There's about 8 guys that have a group chat, and I told them to kick me out of their group chat because they be doing too much. I don't even want to. You get 30 texts a day. I don't want to talk to y'all like that. So, you know what I mean? But it's kind of cool, man. I think that's kind of different about us. Like, guys are really friends and really cool. So we probably keep in touch with each other a little bit more than others.
Last I talked to you, you still had a flip phone, I think. Have you gone in? You're on the social media.
I'm kind of, you know, still the same thing, man. I don't switch the game up. You know what I mean? You can't. All I do is call and talk on my phone. I don't do all the texting and all that. I'm cool on that.
Don't twist the game up.
I don't switch the game up.
What
I love
can't
it.
He do that he used to be able to do?
It is so old looking too. It's like a gold flip phone with like a rubber band around it to keep it from like flapping open. It is awesome.
That is old player mode. That's what that is.
You know, my favorite guy that I talked to, and I wrote about this for the Trib Live sports blog, was Marvell Smith. So if you can you cue up this little clip here, Josh? Because Marvell, can you believe this? He never told his kid he was a Steeler.
Whoa.
This is part of your column, and it's a really good one.
Play the audio here, and I'll explain what needs to be explained afterwards. But we stumbled into a part of the conversation where he said that he never told his kid he was a Steeler until basically the kid almost figured it out on his own.
Weird, because I have my son, he's 7 years old. I never told him I played football till like 5 years ago. And so he's sitting there watching TV. My kids grew up with Troy's kids. So he always looked at the Steelers as, oh, Uncle Troy's playing on this team. And so he's sitting there watching, like on the NFL Network, they were playing the Super Bowl XL. And so he's sitting there watching, Daddy, come look, Uncle Troy's on TV. So I was like, all right, maybe this is the time I can sit him down and actually teach him about the game.
He was actually like cognitively aware of the fact that Troy was playing, but didn't know you were a Steeler?
Yeah, I never, like, if you came in my house, there weren't memorabilia and all that kind of stuff was in boxes. Like, I didn't want to put that pressure on my son at a young age to have to live up to that type of standard or nothing like that, you know. So once he started getting into football and getting an understanding of the game, I started introducing it to him little by little or whatnot. And that was the time where it was like, all right, this is the time I can sit him down and show him that I actually played the game. This is how we live the lifestyle that we do, is So
does cool. he like it? Does he like the sport?
He loved it, but now he's all about basketball.
Oh, nice basketball player. All right. But Uncle Troy didn't play basketball.
So. No.
I remember you played a little though, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It was it's funny, you know, you live through your kids. So I'll try to give them as many opportunities to play any sport. Because when I was little, I didn't have all those opportunities. I didn't start playing football until I was in high school. You know, so now it's like, it's cool to be able to introduce them and just have them find something that they love to do. So
this wasn't like you're afraid for your kid to play football thing. This is just you didn't want to put pressure on him that he had to.
Yeah, I wasn't afraid for him to play. But once he started playing, I told him I wasn't going to let him play any type of tackle football until he's in high school. Once he becomes a teenager or whatnot. I didn't play until I was 15 years old, football. So he's got plenty of time. He's only 7 years old. You know, it's better to learn how to play the game when somebody's not out there trying to take your head off. So I told him, he started playing flag football. I'm like, you become the best flag football player you can, we'll think about playing football.
I think he might have gotten it backwards at first when he said 5 years ago.
Until
I think
he was
seven,
five.
He was 2 and 5. I think yeah. he might have said that. Because if he was able to figure that out when he's 2 years old, let's not waste him on a football field. Let's get him, you know, figure out a way to stop ISIS from coming here or something. You know, I mean, like, this kid's really bright. But the point being, just regardless of age, mm-hmm. the overarching point being is, like, I didn't want my kid to think that he had to be me. Was kind of interesting to me. Like, I will sacrifice any memory that I can see in the house of being on the Super Bowl 40 team just so this kid doesn't think that he has to go down the football path like that, like Dad did. I always like Marvell. As I said in the column,
he's a good player.
You know, you could go walk on the streets right now and say, name for me the first 15 players that come to mind for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 2005 team. I guarantee you get 10 right and then 5 that were players that weren't on the team yet or had left. Before you would get to Marvell Smith. And that's too bad because he was a better player than that. He was a Pro Bowler the year before. That offensive line was really good as the season went along. And, you know, him and Faneca was not there yesterday. Hardings was not there yesterday. There's a couple guys who I thought might be that were not there. But
including Kemo. I was upset he wasn't there.
Yeah, where was Kemo?
I don't know. Well, and Willie Parker, I talked to him for a while. He was praising that line. He says they never get enough credit. Marvell, Faneca, Hardings, Kendall Simmons, Max Starks.
Starks was at home
right.
for a while on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And Simmons was one healthy year.
And the great Dan Kreider at fullback.
Who was there?
Who was there yesterday.
Of course, Colony didn't let him talk to anybody else.
No.
But that could be expected.
New Hampshire.
My favorite Cowher quote to this day is about Dan Kreider. When they first signed him off the practice squad, they're like, what do you think we like about this guy Kreider? And Cowher just straight face, like that stone face Cowher look with his jaw sticking out, just says, he likes to hit people. And that was all he said. It was perfect. I love that about it.
Well, we got to hear Tommy Maddox is the last sound
right,
here.
Yeah.
You talked to Tommy. He probably was the most notable. Like, he hadn't been back since he left here. And that was a weird year for him, as
it
you pointed out.
It wasn't quite Bradshaw hugging the Rooneys at the 50-yard line like it was a few years ago. But It was interesting. Is this the first time you've been back with the Steelers?
Is
it like your first organized activity back with the Steelers?
Yeah, it is. It's great to be back and whole family's back, so it's been fun.
What's it been like to be reassociated with the team again? I know that since 05 or 06 when you left, with you being away, have you watched from afar? You've just stayed interested?
Oh, yeah. I've always followed and kept up and still watch every game on Sunday and stayed in contact with some guys, social media and all that. But it's great to be back and see all these guys and catch up, see what they're doing and see all their kids. I think that's the amazing thing. Everybody's sitting around seeing all the kids that have grown up, and 10 years, a lot changes in the kids, so it's kind of funny.
Me being 41 and the terrible towel turning 40, I thought that was a slap in the face, but I don't know what to make of this being 10 years already. I don't know what's bigger.
Well, that's the thing that's amazing, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long. You get back, and it's old friends, old stories, and you kind of fall right back in the routine. But 10 years goes by in a hurry and start feeling old. So,
were you on board? All right, so we got into a little bit more. What he's doing now, actually, is he's training quarterbacks. And he's actually training pitchers, too. He's got a team called Steelers Baseball, which has pissed off a lot of people in Texas, he says. But
the Tommy Gunn Academy.
Just to sort of, and he couldn't be the least, he's not bitter about anything. You know, maybe it's just coincidence that he hasn't been back or hasn't felt the need to come back for anything, but there wasn't a trace of angst, even though I'm sure
he wasn't happy with
the way things ended, which is not what I expected. I wasn't sure if he'd ever come back for anything here. But, you know, I think some of that might have just been more about Cowher than it was about the like, he doesn't know Tomlin from a hole in the wall, does he?
I mean, I think so.
You'd figure.
So anyway, one analogy to bring up, though, between that season and this season. If you think back to how that season went, it's eerily similar with how the quarterbacks were jockeying in and out. Because remember, Ben got hurt at the very end of that San Diego game. And then Batch came in and handed off the ball a bunch. And they ended up winning the game. They got the field goal. Then, after the San Diego game, I believe, didn't Charlie get hurt midweek or something like that? Because that's when Tommy had to come in and play against Jacksonville. And that's when he had the awful game where people threw the trash on his lawn. He had the four interceptions, and Rasheen Mathis had the interception return for a touchdown. Ben came back, and they won two games against Cincinnati and Baltimore. He got hurt again against Baltimore. Batch came back. They won the game against Green Bay where the ball was sitting on the ground and no one knew where it was, and Polamalu picked it up and ran the other direction.
At Lambeau, yeah.
Charlie came in as the starter against Cleveland, got hurt in that game against Cleveland. Maddox had to come back in again against Baltimore, and they lost in overtime, which started the three-game losing streak where Ben played against Indy and Cincinnati, and that's when they hit the bottom. And they were 7-5, and people were like, this season's over. And then what do they have, Ken, against Chicago?
A signature win. And a signature team meeting before that signature win.
Right, where they wrote down everything that they didn't like about themselves and said that this is what we needed to do better.
I like that. A little nice retrospective there. Good work, Tim. We'll see you tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of TLR. Ben's on brand X, Y, or Z tonight, possibly. Just keep...
Yeah, actually, Atria's, we're right down the road. We're across the street here at Atria's on the north side. So no more bottle shop on Mondays. This is the week where it changes to Atria's on the north side. So make sure you join us. It'll be me and Jerry Dulac from 6 until 8 tonight.
Cool.
On 970.
And we keep going on here. Steelers 365 coming up. Our good buddy Russell Baxter joins me and Josh Taylor. We'll go around the NFL. Quite an interesting few games, set of games yesterday, including the end of the Giants and Patriots and the Steelers and their opponents here for the AFC wildcard picture. Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com next on Trib Live Radio.
You don't need to face criminal charges alone. Call me, Frank Walker, 412-532-6805.